If you've enjoyed listening to the Word of the Lord Endures Forever this year, please make a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. You can also donate by check. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support at the end of 2021.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
I used to irritate my Bible class by always reminding them, "Don't worry, it's going to get worse." I'll say it to you today, just wait. Each of the pileup of the sufferings of this age are all a call for us to wake up and realize that here we have no final and lasting homeland.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Joel.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Last time we stopped toward the end of the first chapter in Joel. The prophet had called for the tillers of the soil, think Cain, and the vine dressers to weep and wail because their fields were empty and ruined. The locust had devoured every green thing. Remember the list? Fig, pomegranate, palm, apple, all ruined. And with their drying up, the very gladness of the heart of man dried up too. What does such a visitation call for? Well, it calls for the priests to put off their beautiful vestments. They had no offerings they could make anyway. And to don sackcloth and spend the night in vigil and prayer, begging God for mercy. And then they were to summon the whole congregation, all the people, and they were to cry out together. Remember, it's not just that they might starve, but the loss of the ability to offer the sacrifices by which they lived in communion with God. The old people and all the inhabitants of the land were to resort to the house of God as one man and plead for mercy. Recall also I pointed out that the church still has and observes such communal days of penitence and prayer. A reading from the prophet Joel, beginning in the first chapter at the 15th verse. Alas for the day! For the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty it comes. Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods, the storehouses are desolate, the granaries are torn down because the grain has dried up. How the beasts groan! The herds of cattle are perplexed because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flame has burned all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, because the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Joel 1, verses 15 through 20. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So are you ready to ponder God's word for today? Let's get to it. Verse 15, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty it comes. So he arrives now at what will be a huge theme for his prophecy, mentioned in all three chapters, and as I noted last time, it's a theme throughout the book of the 12. Let me give you some for instances. Amos 5, verse 18, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord! Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light. or Obadiah 1:15, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return to your own head." Or Zephaniah 1:7, "Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests." And Malachi 4, verse 1, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." The specter of the day of the Lord then runs through the entirety of the book of the 12 as a unifying theme. And Joel is introducing that theme here. Martin Luther, the greatest of the 16th century reformers of Christ Church, observes, "Here he seems to touch on the prophecy, which we will see in the second and following chapters, as if to say, you see the present evil, the terrible disaster. Beyond any doubt, this means that another evil is going to come upon you." It's kind of like that old saga of Beowulf, where you think Grendel is bad, but then you meet his mama. Yikes! So with the horror of the locusts, it's a divine sign and a warning of something much worse just looming on the horizon, a day that is near and comes as destruction. Luther again, "That is, you'll not be able to stop it. Therefore, repent." St. Jerome, writing from Bethlehem in the 4th century, took the verse in a similar way. He notes, "This day is rightly called incurable, for when the day of judgment comes, there will be no opportunity for repentance, and in relation to eternity, it is at hand and not far off." Verse 16, "Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God?" As I just mentioned, it's not merely the prospect of starvation, horrid as that would be for these ancient people, that loomed before them. It was the very loss of their joy and gladness which flowed to them from the house of God. God had arranged the sacrifices to be the way his forgiveness would flow to them, the way they could live together in the joy of his presence. That's all history now, all wiped out by these animals. That's what Joel is lamenting the loss of, as much, if not more, than the loss of physical food. Verse 17, "The seed shrivels under the clods. The storehouses are desolate. The granaries are torn down because the grain has dried up." This makes it sound like after the locust had swept through, the land experienced also a time of very serious drought. We have the expression, "it never rains but it pours," to indicate how very often in our lives the difficult moments seem to pile up on top of each other and come crowding around. That's how it was for Joel and his people. And each ominous disaster in its own way pointed to and sought to prepare them for the arrival of the next and the greater trouble. I used to irritate my Bible class by always reminding them, "Don't worry, it's going to get worse. I'll say it to you today. Just wait." Each of the pileup of the sufferings of this age are all a call for us to wake up and realize that here we have no final and lasting homeland. We just don't. So we need to turn from all our worries and preoccupations with the troubles and anxieties of this age, of which there are a plenty, to the embrace of him who is our eternal home, as Psalm 90, verse 1 puts it. Verse 18, "How the beasts groan! The herds of cattle are perplexed because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer." Remember, the Hebrews were originally herdsmen? The whole history of Israel in the Promised Land is in some sense a bunch of herdsmen trying to figure out how to live in cities instead of in tents, wandering with their herds and flocks. Remember, too, that even in apportioning the land, Manasseh got the big portion it got because of its large herds of cattle. And have you ever thought about ruminants? They really are a miracle, right? I mean, they eat this grass that we cannot eat, and they turn it into delicious steak and dairy for us. And you don't usually have to think about feeding them too much. Just put them out in the pasture. But when the pasture is devoured by the locusts and then the earth is baked hard by the sun and the heat, the cows find no sustenance, and even the sheep, and they can usually scrounge something even where the cows can't, they're suffering too. As the days wear on, I'm sure the cows, not to mention the sheep, resembled the ones Pharaoh saw in his dream, lowing and complaining for food. Verse 18. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flame has burned up all the trees of the field. In his moment of anguish, the prophet does what we must always do. He turns and prays to the Lord. Only from him can come salvation. It's hard to know if we're supposed to take the fire literally, as in, and then a huge fire swept in. It's possible, I suppose, but I wonder what it would have to burn up if the locust had already devoured everything that would fuel it. Dr. Luther thought it was meant as poetry. He writes, "Here I think fire is taken metaphorically. Thus the meaning is, your habitations have been made so empty that you would think they had been gutted by fire." Verse 20. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, because the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. By beasts of the field, I think Joel intends the wild animals, the animals that fend for themselves and do not depend on humans to provide them their chow. Even they are panting, and panting for God, because the waters have dried up in this great drought. Since the entire created order comes to man and beast as gift from the hand of God, as the very gift of communion with him, when he withdraws that good gift, it's always a sign to us that he is the one we were ultimately thirsting for. Think of Psalm 63, verse 1. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. We dare never forget the words that we say at grace. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. And these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Psalm 104, verses 27 and 28. The picture there is almost of the way a man might feed a deer by hand and how it would eat from his hand. But if God turns away his face, well, then there is no hand and no food, and so no communion with him. That spells death, and not just of the body. That's where we're going to wrap it up for today, people loved by God. Up next, we move into chapter 2 of Joel, where we'll return to the locusts described as a dreadful and fierce devouring army sweeping in, and how the trumpet or alarm is to be sounded in Zion ahead of the disaster. That's the life of the church. We have the trumpet in hand to sound the alarm to all the world before the final great day of the Lord arrives. It's like we've glimpsed from Scripture the tsunami that is about to overtake humanity, and we know that there's only one safe refuge when that arrives. The call to repent is the cry of the church for all humanity to board the ark, that is, to trust the words of Jesus, words which hold and are never swept away, no matter what disaster washes over us. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.